grade on down with Miss Rodriguez. All right. Take your Bibles this evening, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're starting a series on doctrine, the importance of doctrine, the importance of attending to doctrine, paying attention to it, knowing what it is. And we're in the letter to the young preacher Timothy by the Apostle Paul, and Paul has a lot to say about that. Paul, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, why do you think that's in there? Because I suspect there were some that were teaching another doctrine. And so Paul says to Timothy, you got a problem, and it is time to deal with it. Charge them that they teach no other doctrine. And, while we're at it, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. But there's a problem, verse 6. For which some, having swerved. Now that's an interesting word. We understand that concept if you've ever driven on the Beltway and watched a driver from Maryland change lanes without their... Now, Maryland people think that they're from Maryland. They have Maryland tags on them. They can drive. Is that right, sis? So she does something that's crazy and she says, Dad, you know, every once in a while I feel guilty about it, and then I remember I have Maryland tags on, and so I'm just free from those laws. But anyways, to swerve, poof, violently, and when you swerve, you're going to take out whichever in the lane over there, and probably crash into the wall, because you can talk to the engineers in the building in the room. When you swerve, there are things that happen to your car. Suspension starts to bend in ways it's not supposed to bend. And then your car starts to do circles, and it's not even on ice. And you end up wrecking, rolling over, all kinds of things. Zachary talked about a little bit about force and momentum and things of that nature this morning. Bad things happen. And when you swerve in your handling of God's Word, you're going to take out somebody in the next lane. That is not a good thing. So stay true. Some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whatever they affirm. But we know that the law is good. Nothing matter with God's Word. If a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, liars, perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is what? Contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. And it is with that warning and admonition that we're going to address the importance of doctrine. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be attentive to doctrine, and that we, especially the older adults, would impress upon the young people the importance of doctrine, and that we would not hesitate to say, that's just not biblical. And our young people would become familiar with that phrase and know that we are to weigh everything by your word. Help us to do it, and help us to be focused on your word, your doctrine, your purpose, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. So let me give you 5 things this evening, just to get started, by way of introduction. Here are some real-life things that have taken place in, let's say, the last 15 years. A Bible-trained, fundamental Baptist pastor graduates from college and embraces immorality. It's a doctrinal problem. He thinks he can do it, and they do. And they, you, boy, I tell you what, and you find them on the internet, they'll justify, well, she wasn't kind to me, and she, da, 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 and they go on and on and on and on and on. But what does it come down to? He just has not embraced Bible doctrine. God's got an opinion on the matter, and you should know what it is. Here's another one. A national conference, and I am on purpose not listing names or places, and don't come to me afterwards and say, is that? Because I won't tell you. I won't. Not necessary to know, but they all have one thing in common, and that is it's a doctrinal issue. This is probably 15 years ago. A national conference embraced an unproven evangelist. I remember seeing that guy's picture in the marquee and thinking to myself, he's what, 22 years of age, just graduated? He hasn't faced any real battles, and we're putting him in a national spotlight? It just doesn't seem to be wise biblically. Lay hands on no man suddenly. And they did. And they promoted him to worldwide recognition. And within 2 years, he was out of the ministry, left his wife, married the secretary. And I'll tell you what, you can find him on the internet today, and he is if it's wacko, he's in it. And he puts the videos out there. It's just absolutely insane. But listen. He sat in a good Bible college, sat under great Bible teachers. Some of the people that he sat under, I know personally. What's the difference? Doctrine. Absolutely, doctrine is a difference. Here's another one. A nationally known Baptist church votes to retain a pastor who left his wife and remarried. Just not biblical. Just not biblical. So, I remember I remember the service, and after the service we had a deacons meeting, and one of the deacons said to me, he said, "Pastor, I think you're a little bit hard on Brother So and So this evening." And I just looked at him and I said, "So let me get this straight. If I cheated on Mrs. Bishop, I left her and divorced her and remarried, you'd keep me as your pastor?" And he went, "Well, no, that's it." Okay, then I don't think I was hard on the guy at all. But what is it? It's doctrinal. Churches today are embracing what? Abortion. The killing of babies. What is it? It's a doctrinal issue. Life and death. There are churches today that are marrying two guys and two girls. And you really want to get confused? It's a guy who says he's a girl and is marrying a girl who says she's a guy. I mean, it's just hard to wrap my brain around all of that. It just is. What is it? Doctrinal. It's all doctrine. There are denominations out there today that have said, you can be immoral just as long as you're faithful to the person you're immoral with. Within walking distance of where we are this evening, there is a Baptist church that on Friday night has booze and Bible study. It's a doctrinal issue. It's absolutely a doctrinal issue. And just so you know, another doctor came out yesterday in the national news and said, I just come to the realization, he's a doctor practicing medicine, that alcohol will kill you, and it opens you up to 7 different types of cancer, and I don't want to get cancer, so I'm going to quit alcohol. I'm thinking, wow, congratulations. Baptists have been preaching that for years. Church is individual. Every time you change your Bible, your music, your dress, it can be traced to doctrine. People send me videos, right? And I'll just tell you that I cannot watch every video that you send me. There's just not enough time in the world to do that. And so I look at it. If it looks like it's something that is interesting, I'll give it a purview. Would you do me a favor? If it's a message and they're preaching and they're using a different version of the Bible, don't send it to me. Why? Because when you use a different version of the Bible, it changes your doctrine. So here's the big one that I've been getting the last, I don't know, 6-8 weeks. We are commanded in God's Word, Matthew chapter 28, to go out and make disciples. No, we're not. Go to Matthew 28. Now you're looking at me like, I already lost you. You think, oh man, the preacher's on a wild hair for the next six weeks, and buckle your seatbelts. So the modern Bibles have taken Matthew 28 and they have made it so that we are to go out and make disciples. But that is not what the King James text says. What does the King James text says? Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 15. This is extra this evening. It's not in my outline. Mark chapter 16. This is not the one I'm looking for. Where am I going, Brother Paul? Where is it?
16:15.
Oh, there it is. And he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples."
Nope.
No. What are we supposed to do? Preach the gospel. Preach. Listen. Preach the gospel to what?
Every creature.
If that was not written for 2025, I don't know what is.
Amen.
Hey, there's a lot of. Is it a boy or a girl? And I don't know. Sometimes I don't think they know. Sometimes it's quite obvious that they don't know. So what are you going to do? I'm going to give them the gospel. I just am. The Bible is our final authority. So let's go back to Timothy. That's just one way that it changes. Changes doctrine. You change your Bible, you're going to change your doctrine. You just are. It's just different. And there are over and over and over again. That was last year's stewardship. Let's go to verse 3. So I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I charge some that they teach no other doctrine. The Bible is our final authority for faith and practice. It divides between truth and error, right and wrong. Look at verse 10. If there be any other thing that is contrary to sound Bible doctrine, it should be rejected just outright. Look at chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That shouldn't be you. Verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Look at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Look at chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, the second letter, same author, God, same human instrument, Paul, same recipient, young preacher Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I think you're getting the gist. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but that should not be you. And for time will not go into Titus. Titus 1:9, 2:1, 2:7, 2:10. You tell me, do you think it's important? That's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Over and over and over and over again. How many? I don't know. I didn't count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 times in three little letters. Doctrine is mentioned. How many times does God have to say something for it to be important? Hey, kids, how many times do your parents have to say something to you? Don't tell me. Because maybe your parents have to say something 17 times before you pay attention. God only has to say something once, and we should be paying attention. But the very fact that he said it 17 times was he was driving home a point. What is doctrine? So let's define it. Doctrine is a word that means simply what is taught. Plato has a doctrine. He does. It is what he teaches. Men of philosophy of, and they have a doctrine that they promote. Should I follow it? You should compare it to the book. To the book. Because this is sound doctrine, and that is the words of men. Thus, a doctrine may be true and may be false, just depends upon from whom it comes. Is it coming from God or is it coming from man? Doctrine, its validity or falseness is determined by the author. Bible doctrine, by God. The principles taught by Christ and the apostles Christ as presented in God's word is Bible doctrine. It begs the question, who do you follow? What do you follow? Do you follow truth as in the book, or error? It's important. Sadly, amongst preachers, churches, religion, many people today, 2025, care little for doctrine. But verse 3 in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Timothy is very clearly admonished to admonish others, to warn them that they teach no other doctrine. And that's one right here. So you're not going to hear the preacher get up and say, we're gonna preach from the Reader's Digest tonight. Back when I was a kid, there was a Baptist preacher that did that. Just be careful. So what do you do? What do you do when you encounter, and listen, I'm the old man. That's what I tell people. Nobody looks at me and says, you are the future. Nobody looks at me and says that anymore. People look at me and they might go, whoa, you're still alive. Cool, dude. But they don't say, man, you are the future. And when I stand before the young preachers, I tell them, I'm not the future. You are the future. And when they come up to me and they'll talk to me and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. That's what I do. It's just not biblical. And you can do that. It's just not biblical. And others have done it before you. You won't be the first. It's not something new you dreamed up. But don't expect me to follow you. And don't expect me to fellowship with you. You can go that road. But I am not going that road. I'm just not. A year, maybe 2 years ago, I spoke at a pastor's fellowship. And I got up and I'm talking about, and I made the preacher say this, the Bible is the Word of God. Remember when I was on that kick? And so the preachers are out there, they're rolling their eyes. And afterwards, one of the preacher comes up to me and says, man, that took a lot of nerve to deal with that in the room today. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, no, come on, man. You have to know. And apparently there was something going on in the world at the time. I had no idea. They called Brother Smith and reported me for stirring up trouble in Virginia. And Brother Smith called me and said, hey, I hear you're stirring the pot. Brother Smith was really excited. I said, really, Brother Smith? I had no idea. He said, oh, come on, you knew. I said, no, I didn't know. It's just not new. We should stand for doctrine. Stand for truth. Feel free to say it's just not biblical. Watch out, verse 4. Fables, endless genealogies. What are they? fanciful stories and weird teaching. Dreams. Visions. I'll go back 30 years. A gal came to my office and she said, "Pastor, I had a dream last night. A man came into my room, stood at the foot of my bed, wearing a black robe and carrying a large sickle in his hand. Pastor, please tell me, what did it mean?" And I said, "Don't eat pizza before you go to bed." She said, "Oh, don't make fun of me. Come tell me." I said, "Seriously, stop eating pizza." But people are looking for fanciful stuff. That's 30 years ago. Now the internet has all kinds of fanciful stuff. And if you're not careful, you'll be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Like what? Well, you know, in my lifetime, there was the holy laughter movement. Proof that you were filled with the Holy Spirit. What was that? Hey, listen, if you start doing that and I'm in the service, I'm kind of 911, I think. I'm heading out the door. I think you got something. I mean, they have a cure for rabies. But I don't want to have to take the shots. You scare me. I'm just saying. But that's the holy laughter movement. That was a big thing. Thousands of people flocked. I tell you, by the tens of thousands, they flocked. And then there was the barking dog movement. How many remember the barking dog movement? Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. Now, listen. I like to bark like a dog. I like to go. I like to do that. That is not proof I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Proofs I'm a little crazy. And I am. Listen, I like to talk like Scooby-Doo. But that is not proof I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Nuts. But not Holy Spirit filled. Yep. Tens of thousands of people flock to the stadiums to bark like dogs. And you can say here, "Pastor, I'd never get caught up in that." That is all kinds of fanciful stuff. You should make sure that you know that the Bible strives for consistency in Bible doctrine. Know your Bible. What does the Bible say? There ought to be non-negotiables. Now, sometime, it was a while ago. Somebody came up to me and they said, this is what they said. Because something was being talked about in the church. And the men, leadership, had taken it up to talk about it. They weren't about to do it, but they were talking about it. And somebody came up to me and said, "Pastor, are the men really going to do that?" And this is what I said. "Only if they ask for my resignation." And they said, "You're going to resign?" I said, "No, I'm not going to resign, because they're not going to ask for my resignation, because they're not going to do this. They would never do that. Why? It's just not biblical." And we strive to be biblical. We just strive to be. There are just some things that are non-negotiable. Bible doctrine that should require a firm stand, a constant work ethic. Doctrine, why? That God's Word, God in you, Holy Spirit, be not blasphemed. It's important. It should make you, listen, it should make you a better worker. Our kids were growing up. I said, "You be a good Christian. You show up to work. You should have worked on time. You work 8 hours. You're going to stand out above everybody else." Why? Listen, I probably should have you turn Zoom off for this. But no, that's okay. That's okay. It happens every day. You can come out here on any day, Monday through Friday, when the business across the street is open. You know what that is. If you don't know, see me after the service. And there are a group of 5, 6, 8 people all day long that are out there smoking. I don't know how they get any work done, because they're out there in the morning, in the afternoon, mid-morning. They're taking their smoke break. So, Christian, if you just don't smoke and sit at your desk, man, you are going to look really good. Where's Joe? He's out smoking. What's he smoking? I don't know. It smells like dope to me. make you a better worker. You should be a better student. Hey, young people, you should be a better athlete. Coach tells you to do something, and it's just wrong. That's a physical assault. That's criminal. I won't do it. I'm going to bench you. Bench me. But I'm not going to do it. There's a lot of pressure out there. better soldier, better lawyer, better mechanic, better teacher, better driver. Listen, I understand that every occupation has its 10% of knuckleheads. That's my percentage. Typically, when I say that, every fire department has 10%, every police department has 10% of knuckleheads, every hospital has 10% of knuckleheaded nurses. And people will typically look at me, and they're a nurse or a fireman or a policeman, and they'll say, "Oh, it's way more than 10." I said, "Well, okay, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Let's say 10%. Listen, Christian, you just shouldn't be one. You should let your work ethic be determined by the doctrine of God's word. Be diligent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine." We should not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Which brings me a highlighted, capitalized letter. Woot, 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 woot. Internet warning. There's a lot of garbage out there on the internet. Stop surfing the internet and sending me the videos. Just stop. Now nobody's going to send me any videos anymore. That'd be fine. Why? Because we are to separate from those that preach false doctrine. We absolutely are. Romans chapter 16. Turn with me. Romans chapter 16. Whew, got 6 minutes. We're making good time. Romans chapter 16. Verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the" what? "Doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches." Would you read the last phrase for me? "Deceive the hearts of the simple." Now, you would not like it if you sent me a video or a text message or asked me a question and I said, "Stop being simple-minded." You would probably, "I'm not simple-minded." Then stop listening to simple-minded stuff that is contrary to God's word. That's what it says. This is not my word. This is God's word. That's what God says. Now, where are we? 16, verse 17. Here we go. 16. Okay. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you" what? "Wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." So whenever anybody says anything to me, I have a tendency to say, "Really? Is that really?" So this morning after the service, can I share this? Okay. So Theo, I think it was Theo, said, "Did you hear that 75 Oregon fire trucks were not allowed to fight the fires in California?" That was on Twitter. So we know it must be X. Is that Twitter? Is that the same thing? No. X, whatever that is. Twitter? Okay. Same thing. Hard to keep track. I keep changing names. It was on X. And so there's been an internet storm about that. And so when they said that California did not let these fire trucks in to fight the fire, my first response is, "Really? Is that true?" And Theo said, "Well, I don't know. I saw it on X, so it must be true, right?" And then we got to talking, and it's like, but it is California. And I can see them doing that, right? And that's sad to have a California-type reputation. So, Theo, I looked at it this afternoon. You know what this I found? that the authorities vehemently deny that that is true, that those 75 fire trucks are indeed fighting the fires in California. And when that was put on X, that they were on the firing line getting the job done. But when the fire trucks came into California, they did have to stop in Sacramento for a safety check. Now, they're not telling us that it's a mission. They're really not addressing it. They're saying to the guy, you're spreading false information, but it sounds like he really wasn't spreading false information. But anyways, you can figure out what that is. I'm just saying you should try to figure out whether it's true. And then read the fine print, because just because the government is telling you does not mean that it is true. I'll go back 30 years, probably 35 years. I was on a police call. A high-profile government employee blew his brains out. And the police department released to the public that he had died of natural causes, that his heart stopped beating. Well, there is some truth to that. His heart did stop breathing after he put a gun in his hand and put it in and blew his brains out. But that is not what you were told, and that's not what was in the newspaper. But that's what I saw with mine own eyes. And you just look at you and you go, if they're lying about this, what else are they lying about? Get your doctrine from the book. And don't get it from the government. Don't get it from the government schools. Don't get it from the internet. Get it from God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're almost done. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some, but it shouldn't be you, some shall depart, but it shouldn't be you, from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. It shouldn't be you, and doctrines of devils. It should not be you. Should not. Should not. Do not get your doctrine from YouTube. Just stop it. Don't come up to me and ask me when I'm going to be preaching on the blood moons. Did none in the book. So the answer is never, never. Don't ask me that. Don't ask me if I'm going to address space travelers and UFOs, please. And if you think transhumanism is out there, if you think transhumanism is a new thing, it's really not, because 30 years ago, I was in a Bible class, ethics class with I don't know, 32 roughly other Bible preachers. And 30 years ago, they were discussing whether or not a cloned individual, transhuman, had a soul. And there were only two preachers in the room that said, why does that even matter? Because this Bible says we're to preach the gospel to every creature. And I said, I don't sit down and say, I don't think this person has a soul, so I'm not going to tell them about Christ. But there are only two preachers. Baptists, we're Baptists, independent, fundamental, Baptists from the best schools. Only two of us said, we're just going to give them the gospel and God's going to sort it out. The other 30 guys said, if they've been cloned, if they're transhuman, then we are not going to give them the gospel because we don't believe they have a soul. Show me in the book where that's a valid approach. But preachers are doing it. And we've been discussing that for years. And this is Bishop, and I love the Green Bank Conservatory. You go to Green Bank, West Virginia, it's a really neat place. They have big listening devices where they can listen for intelligent things in outer space. It's a really neat place to go visit. And you go to the gift shop, and they have little green men that you can buy. It's like, listen, you're taking my tax dollars, and you're listening for intelligent life, and you're selling little green things in the gift shop. Nice. Just like, it's a neat place to visit, but please don't get your doctrine at Green Bank Conservatory. Get your doctrine from God's Word. There might be some intelligent life in Springfield. The verdict is still out. It's just hard. We're about done. How many of you have heard of the Raelians from Canada? Nobody. Oh, you have. I'm not the Raelian family. May's back there. Oh, yeah, I know Sue Raelian. The Raelians are a false cult, religious cult in Canada, started in 1974. It is a UFO transhumanism kind of thing. And let me read my notes here. It started in the 1974 by Claude Vauhan. Their polity is Episcopal. Their headquarters is in Geneva, Switzerland. They believe in the extraterrestrial called Elohim. Ooh, what is that? They've taken enough from God's word, Elohim, name of God, and stuck it in there. But they said, he's not God. Elohim is not God. Elohim is one of the things that that God has created. Like God created several gods, like Muhammad and Jesus Christ. And how many people in Canada do you think that they number? That's just a little bit north of here, just a little bit north of the border. 55,000 members in Canada in this false religious cult. What is that? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in the last times. You should not be one. Turn off the internet, turn off YouTube, open your Bible and say, what does God say? And when you come across somebody that is just not biblical, I don't know much about the internet, but I know how to block people. I don't know much about texting, but I know how to block people. I know I know 1% about Facebook, but I know how to block people. Ask Mrs. Bishop. Every once in a while I'll pick it up and go, I'm blocking that person. It's my Facebook. They use profanity. I'm not coming in my house. So anyway, just saying, get your Bible doctrine from God's word. Stop getting pushed around by all the crazy stuff that is out there. Be a Timothy. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us to be Bible-minded, doctrine-minded, strong, biblically. Help us to do it. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here and you don't know Christ. Do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Raise your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. I do not know Jesus Christ. I'm following the space aliens. Okay, question number two. Preacher, would you pray for me? God, help me to stand true to Bible doctrine and not follow the internet and YouTube. Pray for me. God, help me to do that because it's so tempting. Okay, wonderful. Good. Praise the Lord. Father, help us to do that. Help these folks to do that. May each one of us, heads of households, pledge that we are going to stand for truth, stand for right, stand for strong doctrine, not internet doctrine, not Plato doctrine, but Bible doctrine. Help us to do it. Every head is bowed. Let's stand to our feet. The piano is playing. Altar is open. You obey. Heads, God speaks.